Would you take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3, I want to share with you a very, very important event in Hebrew history that's recorded here because it's a very significant period of time in the history of the nation. There is a transition that's taking place from the period of the judges to what would become the period of the kings. And in this particular transition, God raises up a man by the name of Samuel to lead the country, to be God's spokesperson in this particular time. And so I want to begin reading at verse 19 of chapter 3, and we will read through verse 1 of chapter 4 as we consider that Samuel becomes God's mouthpiece. Samuel becomes God's mouthpiece. Verse 19, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." Chapter 4, verse 1. "And the word of Samuel came to all Israel." We're going to stop there in that verse. "And the word of Samuel came to all Israel." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the testimony of your word, the revelation of your plan in using a young man by the name of Samuel to be your spokesman, to be your mouthpiece to the children of Israel. Lord, I pray that we might see the significance of this and we might understand the choosing of Samuel, the preparation that led to this moment in time, and then the qualifications of this young man to receive the revelation of God. I pray that you'd work in our hearts today, that we might be still and know that you are God and hear your word clearly, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is significant, this particular passage of Scripture, because up to this point, there have been judges in different areas of the land of Israel judging, but not one particular judge over the whole land. As you read the book of Judges, you have to understand that those judges ruled in different locales, some of them ruling at the same time, but they were in small local areas that were ruling, but no common king or leader over Israel during the time of the judges. Now, it also tells us, if you look back at the early part of verse 1 of chapter 3, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious," or rare, or infrequent in those days. There was no open vision. So this is a very important thing to understand, that during the time of the judges, there was not a great deal of God revealing Himself through open revelation or visions to the children of Israel. But now that's about to change. And it's about to change because God now has someone He can speak to that will take His word and not corrupt it, but rather give it exactly as God said it to the children of Israel. You know how important that is? This past week, we have had the remembrance of D-Day, June the 6th, 1944. And I've watched a lot of programs on the Smithsonian Channel and National Geographic and several other, the History Channel. They've had a whole week of nothing but I've just been eating it up, watching all the old footage and seeing all the different things. And it is almost mesmerizing as you realize the number of troops that were fighting and the ability to be able to communicate with all of those different individuals. As a matter of fact, on D-Day, one of the landing craft had rolled in the waves that were coming in. It was a storm, caused a lot of problems. One of the troop carriers rolled over, and inside that ship was all of the plans for D-Day. And the Germans got a hold of it. But the problem was, it was so massive a scale that the German hierarchy said, this can't happen. This just can't happen. So they didn't send their troops in, and as a result, you know the end of D-Day. It was bloody. It went on for months after that. But we landed several hundreds of thousands of troops on the shore of France and battled all the way in, and that was the beginning of the end of the Third Reich. Over and over again throughout the programming this past week, they said how important communication was. Using carrier pigeons, radios, communicating with letters, hand-delivering them. And those orders being passed down were passed down to from the hierarchy down to the lieutenants that shared it with all of the men, and how important it was to repeat the orders accurately. If the orders were not repeated accurately, they would not be in the proper place at the proper time for a victory to be had. And I thought about that as I was reading this passage and studying this passage, about how important it is for God to have spokespeople who will communicate His gospel without adding to it or taking away from it. You know how important it is for you? When you share the gospel with someone, to share the whole gospel and don't take away and don't add to it. If you don't give them the right message, they'll get the wrong impression. Did you hear me? If you don't give the right message, they're going to get the wrong impression. Oftentimes during battle, there's communication failures. There's breakdown. There was one particular group of soldiers that became isolated near the town of Caen in France. They were army rangers, 125 of them that were pinned down near a mountain crest, and they had been told by their orders, take that mountain. Period. There was no plan B. There was no backing out. It was take that hill. And so the documentary told the story of how that 125 group strong of army rangers was whittled down to 12. And how they took that hill, the final 12, and they held it until reinforcements were able to come and they were able to take the town of Caen. That was the highest point overlooking the town, and they would be able to use it to their advantage, and the rangers were given that order. There were several meetings that were held among the men. We can't do this. We don't have enough. We're surrounded by German troops. And one young man who had to step up, he was just a private, but the leader, their sergeant, had been killed. And he said, men, I have the order here. It was bloodied because it was taken off the body of the sergeant that was leading that particular group. He says, we have but one order, and that's to take this hill. We're not going to sit here and hide in the thicket and in our holes. We're going to go after the Germans. So he gathered that 125 up, and they started to go after each one of the machine gun nests. By the time they had taken all the way around the hill, they had killed all the Germans. And the rest of the Germans, thinking this young private was smart, he spread them out and he had them throwing grenades, and it looked like they were all around the mountain. But there was only just that 125, and they destroyed the Germans on that hill and sent the rest of them running down the mountain. And when it was all said and done, the final 12 gathered together on the top of that hill. Most of them weeping, crying, many of them bloodied. But they took that hill because an order had been given. Do you take God's word seriously? Those men took their simple order, take this hill, very seriously, and most of them gave their lives just because of a man's order, a military leader's order. And many of them lost their lives, but they took that hill because the word had come down to them and they took it seriously. I'm here to tell you something, folks. This is God's Word, and you better take it seriously. It's come down from heaven. It's God's Word to you. But I'm afraid today in our churches all across America that we don't take this Bible very seriously. We read it. We like to read the good parts. We'll read some of the Psalms and we'll find encouragement. Some of the, but when it comes to the orders of the Bible, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's not for me. That's for somebody else. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. And well, that's not for me. I'm not, you know, we'll do the best we can. But that, all that stuff, you know, that's talked about in the Bible about training children, that's not for me. You better take God's Word seriously, because you will face the consequences of not following God's orders. You will reap all kinds of consequences that you did not intend when you made up your mind, I'm not going to train my children according to the Bible. I'm going to do it my way. You're going to reap the consequences of not going when God called you to go and you don't go. You will reap the unintended consequences of your decision not to go. I could just go down. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That's a command, by the way. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Well, I don't know about that, you know. I love this world, and I want to get as much as I can. And this holiness stuff, man, that's going to exclude me from a lot of things and keep me away from a lot of people that I want to be with. You better take the Word of God seriously. Do you realize that Samuel took the Word of God seriously? And God said, I can count on this young man. I'm going to make him my prophet. And by the way, it's interesting. For the first time in the Bible, when we come to this passage of Scripture, it is a prophet word that's not used up to this point. There are four Hebrew words in the Old Testament used for prophets. I want to give you those very quickly because I think it's important for us to understand. The first word is the word Nabi. Nabi, N-A-B-I, is the English alliteration of the Hebrew word. And that's the word that's used up to this point in the Bible. The word Nabi means to bubble forth as from a fountain, to utter. You know, when you're at a fountain, you hear the bubbling of the waters. You hear the speaking of the waters there. You hear the gurgle that comes forth. That's this particular word, Nabi. That's what's used up to this point in this passage of Scripture, is used for the prophets of the past. And now, God chooses a different Hebrew word, starting with Samuel. And it's the particular word that's used here, and it's roh. R-O-E-H is the English alliteration of the Hebrew. Roh is how it is sounded. And it means seer. Seer. The ability to be able to see ahead because God allows him to. This is important. It's used seven times just related to Samuel in his life. The other word Nabi is not used. Now there are two other words that are used. Hosi is also translated seer, but it's a different word that's used. And then we have the word kosam, which means diviner, and that's always used of false teachers, false prophets. So you have a Hebrew word that's used for a false prophet, and then you have three different words that are used for other prophets. Very, very important for us to see this. By the way, there are five named prophetesses in the Old Testament. Did you know that? So the office of prophet was not limited to men. It also included women. For instance, the first one is Miriam, Moses and Aaron's sister. She's called a prophetess. Not only that, but you have Deborah, the judge. We learn about her in the book of Judges, that she's referred to as a prophetess. You have Isaiah's wife, who is not named in the Scripture. But it says Isaiah's wife, who was a prophetess. She also served in the ministry of speaking forth God's word. And then you have Huldah, who is named in 2 Kings chapter 22, who went against all the naysayers, and she announced that even though Josiah was king of Israel and all the things that he had done to turn the nation around, that Israel was still a judged land. Judah was still a judged land. She was not a very accepted prophetess at that time. Boy, they didn't like her. She was talking about gloom and doom. And they were talking about, oh man, we got a revival going on. We got an awakening going on with Josiah. And here's Huldah talking about that we're a judged nation. But she was right. She was right. The consequences were already rooted. And then in Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 14, we read about Noadiah, who is a prophetess who served in that particular time. So five of them are named in the Old Testament. By the way, guess what word was used of Balaam? The fourth word, the false prophet. It was used of him. I think it's important for us to see that. Now, I want you to see a couple of things here regarding what we can learn from this testimony of Samuel. I think it's important for us to take to heart some lessons here. Number one, the first thing that we can learn is that Samuel was a very good listener. Do you know that's what you have to be? In order to be able to go out and tell God's Word, you got to listen to what He has to say. You got to be a good listener. You know, we've all met people in life that are good talkers. Man, they love to talk. And you'll share something that happens, and immediately they speak up, and they'll tell exactly what happened to them and their thing. And then you share something else that happened, and then they speak up, and they tell about exactly what happened to them. And it's like a competition. And you finally just have to say, whoo, I'm done with this. And stop, because they've got something else to say. They're not really listening to what you say. They're thinking about what they're going to say and try to up one on you about what you just said. You said, yeah, I was doing something and it was just amazing how this job turned out. Well, mine was more amazing than yours. And this is what happened. Okay? Now, let's stop. Okay, let's back it up a minute. Okay? Did you just hear what I said? Would you repeat back to me what I just said? They won't be able to do it. Because they were thinking the whole time what I'm going to say back to them. This is what happened to me. Because what is most conversation about? It's about me. Okay? But you know what? God said, I've had a whole bunch of people like that in Israel. They made everything about themselves, and now I've got a spokesperson that'll repeat what I have to say. And not make it about themselves. They'll just repeat back what I'm about to say. And he named him to be a seer, a prophet, not only to tell what God said, but also to receive visions about the future and be able to see ahead. God gave him that special privilege because he was a good listener. Let me ask you something. Are you a good listener? Oh yeah, I love to listen to people. Really? Do you listen to God's Word? You know, I get to look out at you while you're here. And I know that there's going to always be some that are going to drift off into happy land. Okay? Pulpit pounds. Okay? Do you know why I move around a lot? Okay? I'll come down sometimes and I'll walk around you and I'm moving in the pulpit because I want to try to keep your attention. Because I know what will happen if I don't. It'll be drift off. You can almost see it and start thinking about what I'm doing this afternoon. Now we're going to go here. We're going to go out to lunch today. Man, I wonder what the special is today down at the local restaurant. Okay? I wonder what Mason's is going to have today? Or what are they doing down there at Zaxby's? Or maybe some other place you're thinking about that food and you just missed everything that we just talked about from God's Word. You know what that says? We're not very good listeners. Okay? We're good talkers. We love to talk. Talk, 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 like a machine gun. Talk, 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 We're just firing the words out, buddy. We got that down. But to listen, I wish they would just shut up and let me talk. If they would just let me talk. Okay? Isn't that human? That's human. Every once in a while, you'll see somebody that just sits quietly, and immediately the human thinks something's wrong with them. They're not talking. I wonder if they're sick. I wonder if they're not feeling well today. You see, we got the talk part down, but we don't have the listening part down. And God was looking for a good listener that He could call on that would listen to Him and then would go out and just say what He said. Isn't that remarkable? Yes, Lord, I'll take this message and I'll tell it just like You said it. That was Samuel. He was a good listener. And in regard to that, he obeyed what he was told to do. What a wonderful characteristic. Have you ever had a dog that just would not obey? Cats don't obey. We already know that's universal. You accept that. Cats just don't obey. Our cat got into our room last night, and I was snapping my fingers. Now, sometimes she'll come. Emphasis on the sometimes. All right? I said, nope, Mama doesn't want you in here. Let's go. Snap my fingers. And she sat down. Boom. Looking at me. Okay? So I had to walk over there. Come on, let's go. Take my foot. You know, let's go. Now, just letting you know, I'm still in charge here. Yeah, you're pushing me out of the room, but I'm still in charge. And go stand at the door. Okay? Till I close the door. Cats don't obey. Dogs sometimes obey. They're a little bit better at it. You know, you snap your fingers and they come up. Isn't that a wonderful experience? I was down here at the sign shop picking up my signs for the T-Ball World Series that I had made. And there's a little dog down there. I love that little dog. That little dog, no matter where it's at in the building, it's a good-sized building. And they've got all kinds of nooks and crannies. And every time I come in there, the dog comes, you'll hear it. It's got a little bell on its neck. And it comes, ding, 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 comes right up there, and it comes through the little walkway. They have a little border. You can't go back there, but there's a dog door. And the dog will come out and just wagging its tail and want me to pet it. And as soon as I pet it, it turns around, goes back through the dog door, and goes back to its bed in the back, greeting the customers that come in. She's got it down. I mean, it's just a sweet dog. And I was talking to the owner of the dog and said, you know what? She's going to be 16 this year. He said, I'm just so afraid that things are going. He said, I just had to put one of mine down, and this is my sweetheart, and I don't want to have to do that. She is so obedient. She's my obedient dog. Everything I said, it's time to go. She's over at the door waiting. Time to get in the truck. And she'll come over and she waits. She's too old to be jumping up in the thing, so she has to be picked up. She said she'll come stand right by my leg, pick me up, put me in there, and she goes and gets in her spot. She is so obedient. It's refreshing, is it not? What do you think God wants from us? What do you think He wants? He not only wants you to listen, but He wants you to go out and do what you're told. He wants you to obey. Is that too much to ask from the God of the universe? I don't think so. Number two, what we need to learn about Samuel here is that Samuel was a recipient of a new title first used of him, establishing him as God's prophet after a long, long time. Okay? New title of seer, which established him as a prophet. We're moving away now from a priest leader, a judge leader, to now having a prophet leader. And this is going to take us into the transition that's going to take us to a king. A prophet. Someone who hears God's word and proclaims God's word just like He said it. A repeater. You might want to put it this way, a presenter. You know, that's all that news people do. They'll sit up there at the desk, you know, and they get such high acclaim and God. All they're doing is reading what somebody gave to them to read. They're a presenter. God has called us to hear His word, to read it, If you look in chapter 4 and verse 9, we have a command that comes down from the Philistine leader. He's talking to his men. And he says to his men, "Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight." And you know what they did? They whipped the Israelites and took the Ark of the Covenant. You know what it was? It was a man stirring his men by giving them an order, "We're not going to quit. We're going to go up against these Hebrews and we're going to win." And they did. What did they do? They obeyed their commanding officer. Now, if we can do that in earthly matters, can we do it in spiritual matters? Absolutely. Whatever God says, He gives you the power to do what He says. And that was Samuel. He gave him a title, seer. And He said, "You're going to be my spokesperson. I'm going to share things with you. I'm going to let you see things that are going to be mysterious to you, Samuel. But I'm going to grant you that privilege because you've learned one thing. You've learned how to obey, to do what I say, and to repeat back the words that I've given you to share with the people of Israel." That's number two. Number three, the nation recognized Samuel as God's prophet and that God's favor was on Samuel. You know how important this is? Not only did God say, "You're my prophet," but the people saw that Samuel had God's favor on him and that God's word abided in him and that he was God's prophet. They saw that. You know what was missing today? Is authoritative preachers. We're so scared today that we're going to offend somebody. And so as a result today, the ministry of the pulpit has been diminished, not strengthened. Sometimes you have to say some tough things from God's Word. It's not easy. It's not easy to expose sin. It's not easy to expose rebellion against God's Word. It's not easy to stir people up that have gotten complacent and settled on their lees. God's called us to do that as pastors. So because it stirs the pot, a lot of pastors said, "I'm not going there. I'm just going to preach messages that are nice and that are compassionate and so forth." That's not the whole Word of God, is it? That's not the whole Word of God. The whole counsel of God is much broader than just preaching the gospel all the time. I had a conversation this week. I said, "Listen, the gospel is just part of the Scriptures. It's just part. And we love that part, but that's not the only part of the Scriptures that we're supposed to dwell on. We have so much more to feed on as we learn more about our Savior that saved us from our sin. There's a right way to walk. And we're to walk with Him. We're to walk circumspectly, the Bible tells us." What does that mean? That means we walk carefully. We want to make sure we please our Lord. We're to walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, there's so many more things to learn beyond the realm of just the gospel. But today, we've just kind of honed in, and that's all we talk about. I read one man not too recently said, "Listen, all the rest above the gospel is just, how would you put it? It's there, but it's not as important as the gospel. Be ye holy, for I am holy, is not as important as the gospel. Do right, love righteousness, and mercy. That's not as important as the gospel. Yes, I understand you have to know the gospel, but let me tell you something. We have to grow beyond that. We have to grow beyond that. Even Jude, when he wrote his book, said, "I would have talked to you about our great salvation, but there's so many other things I need to share with you." And he began to warn them about the future and false prophets and all those kind of things. He said, "I'd love to talk to you about the gospel, but there's some other things I need to share with you." We got to wake up, folks. We got to understand that there's more to the Bible than just the gospel. It's the right way of living the gospel. It's the right way of honoring our God after we come to know His gospel. And He has so much to share with us. Samuel was willing to learn that. Samuel was willing to be God's seer. to see what was beyond the moment. And God share with him his revelation and then go out and share it with his people. That's number three. And then number four in closing. Samuel wasn't afraid to take God's word to God's people. He wasn't afraid. You know what? Fear is crippling. Fear will keep you from doing what you ought to do. Sometimes you just have to overcome. You have to overcome. I want to go back to the story that I shared with you at the beginning about the Ranger, Army Ranger unit that was ordered to take a hill near Caen, France. The private that stepped up was the least talkative individual in the group. But that day, those that were in that group said he became a leader of men. He said, men, we're not going to sit here and hide in the foxholes and wait for them to come to us. We're going to go to them. We're going to spread out. I want you throwing grenades all over the place. I want to give the impression that there's more than 125 men. I want to give the impression that there's thousands of us up here. And they went out there and they faced an onslaught of machine gun fire that cut some of them in half as they ran down that hill. As they came up one side and began to go down and hit the perimeters of the mountain, of the hillside there, to kill the Germans and to run them off the mountain. That young man overcame his fear. When it was all said and done, and he met his men as they began to walk up the hill, he was covered in blood. And his hand, he had a 45 pistol in his hand because his gun, his machine gun had jammed, and so he was left using nothing but a pistol to finish up the Germans. And they said as he stood there and began to speak to his men that his hand was shaking violently because of the fear that he had overcome to take it to the enemy. And they were weeping together there as they saw all their lost men all around them, but they took the hill because they'd been ordered to do so. Those are the kind of men that preserve our freedom to be in this building today to worship God. They followed a simple order, take the hill. And it meant overcoming personal fear, overcoming lack of training, lack of being an officer. It took that to lead. That private survived. He led his men, and many of them were cut down all around him, but he just kept on going and kept on going. And when he was done, the fear and the overwhelming nature of what they had just done had just gripped his body. He was shaking so. And one of the men just said to him, sir, called him sir for the first time, sir, we took the hill. Said, radio back to the reinforcements. Hill taken. Hill taken. Folks, we got a hill to take. There are unsaved friends that you all have contact with and I have contact with that need to hear from heaven, and you're the voice box. You're the mouthpiece. Are you going to take the hill? Or are you too busy planning your day? Too busy planning what you're going to do next? Too busy with this? Too busy with that? God said, go ye and preach the gospel. God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Are you going to take that hill? Or does this word not mean a great deal to you? To Samuel, it meant everything. To Samuel, it meant everything. And God said, you're my prophet. And when you read verse 1 of chapter 4, you get the testimony. And the word of the Lord came to Israel. How did it come to Israel, folks? It came through one young man whose name was Samuel. And he brought God's word to the people. For Samuel, it was serious business. And for him, it just simply meant, take this hill. God gave me the orders. I'm going to take this hill. I'm going to do whatever He wants me to do. And when I take that hill, I'm going to wait for orders. All right, Lord, I'll take the next one. And get busy for God. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the testimony of Samuel. And why was the Old Testament given to us? It was given to us, we're told, by the Apostle Paul for our admonition and for our learning. And it's high time that some of us start taking the hill. Do I hear an amen? It's high time. There are folks all around us that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. There are people all around us that don't know we're believers. They don't know because they've never heard us talk about it. We haven't taken that hill yet. We're in hiding. God help us to use the influence that we have to bring people to a knowledge of this wonderful book and take it seriously. Father in heaven, I thank you for the testimony of Samuel. What a wonderful testimony he had. He wasn't afraid. He was a good listener. He was a good obeyer. He was someone that was willing to take up the mantle of being your prophet and to hear your word and go out and tell it, even when it was unpopular, even when it wouldn't be accepted, to take that word to your people. Lord, you've called us in 2019 to do the same thing. Oh, we don't get visions into the future. We have all that given to us in your word. You've shared everything you want us to know. But some of us aren't taking things very seriously. I pray that you'd work in hearts today, Father. I wonder if there's somebody here today, or maybe more than one, that say, Pastor Todd, I need to take the Bible seriously. Would you pray for me? Just slip up your hand. I'm not going to talk about you. Thank you. I see that hand. I'm not going to talk about you. I just want to pray for you as your pastor. Hey, Pastor Todd, I'm not taking God's word seriously. I'm not practicing it. I'm not living it. And I want to change that today. Would you pray for me? Just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you. I thank you for this one that's taking this message seriously, wanting to change. Father in heaven, you know the hearts of everyone that's in this room and those that are listening by way of the internet or radio. And I pray, dear Father, that you would do a work of grace in their hearts, that they would not just play the game of being a Christian, but they might be a real one, someone who will take the hill for thee, that will take the Word of God seriously and put it into practice in their life. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.